What's happening in your day? Well, part of your day, I'm guessing, is you're going to figure out, unless you're a really good planner, you're going to figure out what you're going to eat and when. Food is such, it is a basic essential for us to live. Food and water and the most basic essentials. So as we look back in history and think about food, you know, right now we are seeing many programs related to making sure that people have food. Words like food security and food access and gleaning, those are words that probably were not part of our everyday news and everyday vocabulary, and have become much more so because we are, I think, more aware of people being hungry. We care more about people who do not have sufficient food, and we want to try to work things that will help people who are in need to have that food. And when I say in need, it may be for the lack of total calories, but it may also be the lack of a balanced diet. So there's a lot of ways to describe food need. Well, again, looking back in history, I was sort of searching the internet and just put in search for how food has changed. And all kinds of interesting information, at least interesting to me, came up. But and depends on the viewpoint of the writer, the submitter, as to what they thought. But one of those folks said that there are five times that food has changed the course of history. So we're not just talking about, but it is because food is such an essential need for us, that beyond that essential need, food unites us with family and friends. It triggers revolutions. It transports cultures. And it certainly changes the way we live. So, and I challenge you to think about in your lifetime how your food habits and your food sources and how you handle food have changed. Depending on your age, it may have changed tremendously from growing all your own and cooking all your own and doing all those basics to, well, we'll just go out and eat, or we'll just order, or it's instant to put in the microwave. Or now, you know, all of these companies have come up with delivering those food boxes that have the recipes and all of the essentials for creating a meal. You can make it at home. You can be a part of that process. So there are all sorts of choices that we have related to food. But back to those five foods that have changed the course of history. The first one that this person wrote about was basically farming. You know, farming was not a part of life more than 12,000 years ago because people just roamed. They were nomadic hunters and gatherers and didn't settle down because they basically moved where the food was and didn't grow it themselves, didn't know how to store it, didn't, you know, it was always just moving on to find the food. Well, when they decided that they could grow some vegetables, grow some crops, they settled down, and that was the agricultural revolution and the start of civilization as we know it. So, moving on from that basic, let's grow our own and provide for ourselves, there is often some excess to share with others. And it also relates to owning the land, being in control of the land where that food is grown. So then we get to the stage of where we have the power in societies held by the folks who also hold the land. And you know where all that's going. Who owns the land and who has control of it and how do they control it? So the second food item that this person listed was sugar and spice. Well, you know about Columbus and Christopher Columbus and the other explorers as they set out from their countries to find other kinds of resources. And one of those resources did include the spices and sugar. that establish trade routes, you know, and that establish competition among the countries for who could get there first and who could get it for the least cost. They discovered that sugar, for instance, grows best in a certain climate, and that started, actually, this realization sparked one of humanity's darkest moments, the transatlantic slave trade. Over the next 300 years, this is after Columbus and the others, 11 million Africans were forcibly transported to the New World, with half of these sent to work the plantations in the West Indies. So slave trade had started before we really began in the United States. This free labor lowered the price of sugar back in Europe, increasing demand, and it was known as white gold. Sugar was the basis for many changes in our whole life system. The third food item that's mentioned is the potato. Now, I'm guessing a lot of people know about the Irish potato blight that created a lot of those Irish folks immigrating to other countries. And the other thing that relates to the potato, though, even before that, it actually was found in and grown by the Peruvians, and then our explorers moved it to Spain, and from there it moved to other continents. It provided a cheap and nutritious source of energy, and according to this person, started the Industrial Revolution in Europe by providing that cheap source of energy, and also caused a population boom among the working class, which then provided workers for the industrial production. One of the social economists at that time said that the potato and its impact was equal to iron in its historically revolutionary role. One of the problems with depending on a certain kind of potato is that when this blight hit, it caused all of these repercussions because people did not have that source of nutrition. And as I said, caused immigration, caused, of course, lots of starvation, caused other things to happen in the Industrial Revolution. Also should have warned us about the problem of depending on one species of animal or plant, because if we have the blight as we did then, it could disappear. So maybe we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket. Another time or another food, and this one not so much a specific food, but in general food, is how it affects wars and battles. One of the closer in time to us is the Cold War between Russia and the USA, and when Germany was divided, East and West Germany, ended up that a lot of food was airlifted into West Germany behind the wall. It was thought that this plan to move food behind the wall would last 3 weeks. Turns out British and American planes became a regular feature and went on for months and months. And food is a weapon of warfare. You may remember or heard about Spam. Well, Spam was one of the important foods during World War II. Some people love it, some people hate it. But timing is everything, and even the Smithsonian says that this home front embraced Spam because it was versatile, affordable, and convenient. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're seeing that resurgence of Spam in TV commercials of how good it can be with other things, combined with other kinds of food. Spam was crucial to the survival of Allied troops, and more than 150 million pounds of Spam made it into the war effort. It was a staple food, and The enterprising troops found that they could do other things with it in addition to eat it. They could use it to grease, to waterproof their gear, and keep their weapons lubricated. So, maybe not what you want to use Spam for now, but it was a multi-purpose food. Beyond that, the next kind of food revolution in terms of this writer's opinion is, well, he said, the Happy Meals. McDonald's opened, but that's sort of an era of the mixes, the instant food, the microwave, all of those things that came to dinner together, the TV dinners, that a couple of things happened. One was, of course, it made less cooking in the kitchen. It freed women to do more things other than stay home and cook. And it certainly affected the nutritional value of our meals. Well, food, so important. And think about how it affects your life. Until next time, sort of a fun thing to think about. Why do people constantly return to the refrigerator with hopes that something new to eat will have materialized?